Yeah, guys, how you all doing? Welcome to church. We are carrying on our series of Just Like Jesus. And so we've done already. We've had topics like a heart like His, a forgiving heart, a compassionate heart, a connected heart, a compassionate heart, and a passionate heart. And today, my topic was a pure and honest heart. Dave, I would love it, but I can't. You can throw it to me if you want. Go for gold. Fabulous. I'm going to get my clicker. I still probably forget, but it's fine. Right, so today I'm preaching on a pure and honest heart, but as I was thinking about it, I'm just going to focus on a pure heart, because actually everything comes from a pure heart. And I just wonder this morning if you remember the good old days. You know, those days when toilet roll was sparse, when there were hardly any tins on the shelves, and when you had to only go from, your holiday was in your lounge. Do you remember those days, like the COVID days, when actually you were just all in lockdown? Well, during that time, I think many of us were thinking, right, I've got a bit more time on my hands. What am I going to do? Well, my wife had set her eyes on the vegetable patch, which was down the end of our garden. And this vegetable patch had laid dormant since we arrived. And she had a passion and a desire to see us grow our own vegetables. I mean, let's be honest, there's nothing else to do in COVID. And secondly, there was a shortage, wasn't there? So we're going to feed ourselves. So she decided in her heart of hearts, I'm going to grow vegetables. So Dave Thatcher very kindly, like, planted two rows of carrots for us, the seeds, had made all the soil good, put some compost, and I don't know what else he did because he's a gardener and I'm not, and he made it already. And so we came to the day and I was like, babe, are you ready to go? And soon enough, I realized that her passion had to become my passion. So I had to become the vegetable grower of the family. It's true what they say, two really do become one, whether you like it or not. So anyway, I decided to throw myself in. So I had the gloves, you know, the kneeling pads, the ones you kneel on. I bought one of those. I had a little, like, shovel-y hoe thing. I had a little rake. I had all sorts. Like, I had the whole garb. I felt like the right don of this thing. And so I planted courgette. I planted salads. I planted cucumbers, the whole gamut of things. And I went to town so much that I had even a little helper. And, okay, this isn't going to work anyway. No, I think this, battery's dead, David. That's my little helper. And as you can see, she was there. And that's our vegetable patch. I think that's the beans we were growing, some courgette. And she was my sidekick for the whole journey. But, you know, as lockdown continued, I began to realize how much work a vegetable garden actually takes. And then I got COVID. And so, like, a week after week, I didn't really have the strength and weeds started to grow. And soon enough, the weeds got a bit too much and I got busier with church. And then we started to try and do Zoom church and all those kind of things. And things got a bit busier. And I soon realized that after we did have some good crops, but I soon began to realize that my crops got overtaken by weeds. And it was no longer a vegetable garden, it was a weed garden. Not that kind of weed, before you think wrong. Take that offline. Anyway, but I soon began to realize how much time, effort, commitment, and dedication it took to invest in that vegetable garden. If I wanted to get the yield all the time, if I wanted to make sure that every crop produced something, I needed to spend a lot of time on it. And I think this is a perfect picture for our lives and our hearts today, and how we must be a people who do not neglect our hearts. Why? Because that is what we see in Jesus' life. He was ultimately the purest, and he is purity personified. Jesus is pure. And that's what it says in 1 John 3, verse 3 to 5. It says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So we know that Jesus is the epitome of purity. He is the purest of all. And he said these words. Again, I'm not sure if it's going to work. No, yes. He said these words in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Amazing sermon, and this is one of the lines. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Don't we all want to be blessed? Don't we all want to be blessed? Don't we all want to know God's favor and blessing upon us? Well, actually, that comes when we have a pure heart. So what does it mean to have a pure heart? There we go. The word pure, first and foremost, comes from the word Greek, a Greek word, which is katharos, which has a double meaning. It actually means a clean, blameless, unstained from guilt, but it also means an undivided heart, a heart that is, undivided, unadulterated, unalloyed, not mixed with foreign substances. And it talks about that refining by fire, and its purification makes it clean and undivided. And we see that throughout Scripture. And the word heart, cardia, in the Greek, and it talks about not only the physical heart, but the spiritual heart. And it talks about actually not just, you know, our physical heart, which is around about here, but it talks about the center of our lives. Our thoughts, our desires, our sense of purpose, our will and understanding, and our character that all resides within our hearts. And so it's talking about having a pure heart, having a clean, undivided commitment to God from the very core of our being. I wonder that this morning if that's something we feel we have. You know, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart," and this is a bit depressing, but it's true, "the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" And then the psalmist in Psalm 24 says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in the holy place? Those that have clean hands and pure hearts." My goodness, that's a massive responsibility, isn't it? Our hearts are deceitful above all else. We can only ascend the hill of the Lord if we have clean hands and a pure heart. How can we approach God today? But I love it because Max Lucado in his book says this quote, thank you, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus." And I know I've said that every sermon, and I will until this series is finished, because that is what it's all about. That Jesus loves us even how, no matter what we are like right now. As Will shared with a bag of garbage, he loves us the same then and he'll love us the same tomorrow. But he doesn't want to leave us that way. He wants to make us more like Christ. So how do we do it? Well, I'm going to be careful not to offend any gardeners, but I'm going to use some gardening analogies for my sermon talks today. So we'll go to the first point, please. So the way we have a pure heart is we first need to know the gardener. We first need to know the gardener. You know, David understood this concept in the Bible when he'd kind of had a heart that was really going away from God, and his heart was kind of really full of lust for Bathsheba, and he had a murderous heart against Uriah. He was full of rebellion against God, but his desire was that God would come and speak to his heart. That he knew that actually God was the only one who could change and make his heart more like him. And so he says this in Psalm 51, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." You know, what's amazing about the moment we give our lives to Christ, that moment that we give our lives over to God, as soon as we say, "Jesus, I believe in you," he gives us a new heart. He gives us a clean heart, and he's working on us to renew us and to make us more like him. But I also believe that, you know, we have to daily pray that, and we now have to ask God to restore the joy of salvation to us. And I believe there are some people here today that you need to get before your creator or your gardener today, and you need to get that joy back, the joy of your salvation. Because actually the way you are carrying yourself is there may be hard things in your life right now. There may be challenges that you are facing. But you must know that there is a joy in knowing that you have a Savior that never fails you, who never leaves you, who never forsakes you. And so you need to come before your gardener and you say, restore in me, O God, a joy of your salvation. Because the way we are carrying ourselves around the place is it a testimony of God's joy? Or is a testimony of God's of the fear and of concern and anxiety and worry and doubt and everything else. Those things are okay and we all feel them. But actually as a pure person, as a person who says, God, I want to be more like you. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. That I may be abounding in joy day after day. So I believe there's some people here that need that this morning. You need to come before your gardener and you need to say, Father God in heaven, restore the joy within me. So that's the first one. We need to come before our gardener. Second one, please. We need to sow and feed the right seeds. We need to sow and feed the right seeds. You know, Galatians 6 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. And I know that this next passage in 2 Corinthians 5:9, verse 6 is talking about giving and a giving heart. But it says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. The seeds that we sow in our heart today is what we will reap. When I planted a courgette seed, I didn't expect to find an onion. I expected to find a courgette. And the same for us today is, are we sowing seeds of fear or are we sowing seeds of faith in the one who made us? Are we sowing seeds of anger or are we sowing seeds of appreciation for who he is? Are we seeds of love or lust? Or are we seeding seeds of jealousy or joy or gossip or gratefulness or worry or worship? What we sow is what we will reap in our lives and in our hearts. Because it's that old age saying, isn't it? What goes in must come out. Garbage in, garbage out. And Jesus said it like this. He said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You might say, I don't know the condition of my heart right now. What are you saying about your life? What are you saying about your circumstances? What are you saying about your neighbor? What are you saying about the church? Because soon it will show you what you've been sowing into your heart. What have we been planting deep in our hearts today? The rest of Galatians 6 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, there's a story about an Eskimo man and he has two dogs. And I'm sure you've probably heard this story before, but he would bring these two dogs to the town center every Saturday. And he would often make these two dogs pit off each other, fight each other. One was a white dog, one was a black dog. And one Saturday, he would bring the dogs and the black dog would win the fight. And then the next Saturday, he would bring the two dogs and then the white dog would win the fight. But every single time, the Eskimo bet on the correct dog. And no matter which dog won, he won the bet. And all his friends were like, wait a minute, how are you always winning this bet? I don't understand it. I can't understand. You know exactly which dog is going to win. And he goes, that's because I know which one I feed. I know which dog I feed, so I know which dog will win. And isn't that true for our lives today? That actually the things that we feed will often win the battles in our lives. The things that we see, the things that we sow and the things that we feed will actually be the things that actually take control of our lives. And they are the things that will succeed. The psalmist says in Psalm 119:9-11, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. The psalmist David understood, the same guy who cried out to God and said, create in me a pure heart, understood that actually the only thing that was going to able to enable him to become more like Christ, the thing that he had to do was he had to sow the word of God deep into his heart so that he would not sin against God. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I wonder this morning, what are the seeds that we're sowing into our hearts on a daily basis? What are the seeds that we are sowing and maybe actually feeding on a daily basis? When I'm angry, what comes out when I'm angry? When I'm lonely, what happens? What do I do? What are the results? What habits are maybe keeping me from being all that God has called me to be? What am I listening to? What am I reading? What am I watching on TV? What am I looking at on the internet? What are the seeds that we are sowing and feeding? Because that will tell us what we will reap. Because, Philippians 4 says it so well when Paul is speaking to the church. He says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. I wonder if you start thinking about the things that you think about because the thoughts are the make a way for the heart. I wonder if you think about those things. Are they noble? Are they true? Are they lovely? Are they pure? Are they admirable? Those are the things we must think about. You know, we were talking the other day, myself and Will, as we were just going out of the church, and we were talking about composting. I don't really know why. You know, we just have random conversations. But we were talking about composting, and I said, you know, I kind of was thinking about getting composting, but I don't want rats and other animals to come and in kind of infest the area. And so, but Will said, oh, I've got a compost bin. I was like, oh, that's amazing, man. That's really good. And so he said, yeah, you know, I've had it for a full year. I was like, wow, so you've taken a lot. He's like, nothing. I said, have you not been putting anything in your compost bin? Surely, if you're putting stuff in, you should be able to get stuff out, no? He said, no, it just disappears. I'm like, well, it's got to go somewhere, surely. Surely, if you're putting stuff in, it will come out. And it transpires that Will actually said, well, I've never actually tried to get it out of my compost bin. And I said to him, that's probably why you're not getting anything, is it? But isn't that the problem that we have? We sometimes are not actually, we're sometimes not actually willing to go and get down and get the compost out to then put it on the crops to make sure the crops grow well. And that's similar to our hearts and our lives, isn't it? We're maybe putting things in and we're not actually ready to get out the goodness. We're not ready to dig deep. We've left it a long time, but maybe we haven't been willing to actually get down on our knees and dig out the good stuff. That's what we need to do with the word of God. We need to dig out the goodness of God in our lives. We need to sprinkle on our hearts and in our minds so we become more like him. So we need to know the gardener. We need to sow and feed the right seeds. We need to protect the produce is the next one. We need to protect the produce. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do overflows from it. I love this proverb. It's such a challenge, isn't it? Because he says, above all else, above any other responsibility, above anything else that you've got going on in your lives, above all else, guard your hearts. Why? Because everything flows from it. I wonder if we take as much responsibility. You know, we often think of ways in which we can protect our homes, protect our livelihoods, protect our futures. But do we actually often spend time thinking about how we can guard our hearts? Because actually that is where everything else flows from. The New Living Translation says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. And I love it because we see throughout the Bible and throughout Jesus' accounts that he was someone who guarded his heart. First of all, we see when he was tempted in the desert, with Satan was tempting him and trying to get him to fall. And every time that Satan threw something at Jesus, he came back with these words, it is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus knew that the temptation of the devil was not greater than the word of God, and so he guarded himself by proclaiming the word. We see it again in that account with Peter and Jesus. And Jesus has just told them that he's going to suffer and he's going to die. And Peter actually rebukes Jesus and says, it's not going to happen, Jesus. It's not going to happen. What is Peter's response? Get behind me, Satan. What lovely words that is, eh? I'm not saying you go and say that to your friends, okay? I'm not saying you say that in the workplace. But he was diligent to make sure that nothing stopped the plans of God. He knew that Peter's heart was maybe pure because he wanted to protect Jesus, but actually he was stopping and wanting to stop the will of God for Jesus and for the rest of us on this planet. So Jesus said, no, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And we see it again when Jesus is tired and grieving and weary and he's had a long day. He's preparing for sermons, whatever it is, throughout the accounts. And we've already talked about this. He drew himself aside. He went and had solitary prayer so that he could guard his heart from anything that came his way. But we need to be just like Jesus and we need to guard our heart. And I was thinking about how we do this, and I was thinking about my lovely vegetable patch. Well, I say mine, Dave and Dave Thatcher's lovely vegetable patch. And I was thinking, what did we do to make sure we protected it? Well, first of all, there were four kind of things that we had to protect against. One was a deer. Trust me, they are beautiful, but they are beasts. We had slugs. No one likes slugs, do they, slimy things? We had pests that would kind of eat and destroy the crops. And then we had birds that would come and try and eat what was there. And so what we had to do is we didn't do the same tactic for every single issue that we faced. If we'd put a hedge around the slugs, they'd have been like, no, 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 I'm going to get you. But instead, we made sure that we had a tactic for everything that came our way. For the deer, we had a fence to stop them getting in. For the slugs, you needed pellets. For the pests, you needed plant food, and you need to get rid of those bad crops quick and sharp. For the birds, you wanted to have a scarecrow, or you had a stick with a plastic bag, isn't it, David? But that's exactly what we need to do with our lives. Sometimes we use the same plans and the same strategies to stop our hearts from getting hurt and protect our hearts. But that's not what the Bible tells us. It tells us that we need to have different strategies and different plans. 2 Corinthians 10 says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. So one of our first strategies to guard our heart is taking captive the thoughts that come in our minds, because if we don't take captive them, they come into our minds and then they take root and they plant seeds in our hearts. So we see that, and then we see in Ephesians 6, and I'm not going to read it all, but it's the account of putting on the full armor of God. And I love it because it gives a full picture of what God requires us to do when we're seeking to have a pure heart. We have to put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to have the feet fitted with the gospel of peace. We need the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we must pray in the Spirit in all occasions and all kinds of tongues. I wonder, what are we doing to make sure we're guarding our hearts against those things that can try and come and pull us away from God? So first of all, we need to know the gardener. We need to sow the right seeds. We need to protect the produce. We need to submit to the pruning. And this is one we all love, isn't it? We all love to be pruned. But Jesus said in his word, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that I will be ever even more fruitful. You know, pruning is painful. Pruning is not a fun process. Pruning is submitting to God and say, God, if there's anything within me, come and see, is my heart pure before you? And God might start changing that, ask you to change different elements in your heart. Maybe give up that habit that's been kind of continually keeping you from him. Maybe he's asking you to change your language because it's maybe affecting the patterns of your heart. The psalmist said in 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. You know, we have to submit to God's pruning. Why? Let's go to the next one. I Googled the top tips on how to be a gardener, because I'm not a very good gardener. And it said this, pruning plants can seem like a daunting job, but if you learn how to do the job properly, you'll be rewarded with plants that look good, grow well, and they're likely to flower and fruit better too. God is only interested in pruning us, not to hurt us, but to make us more like him, so that we may produce more fruit. If we go to the next one, and for those of you that feel, actually, I don't know if I can submit to the pruning of Christ, I love this quote. The vine dresser is never nearer to the branches than when he's pruning them. I wonder this morning, how near is Jesus to us? Because if Jesus is truly near to us, if he is the vine and we are the branches, we should feel the snip. We should feel the pruning. Not because we need to be hurt, but so we can produce fruit and so that we can lead others to Jesus. How close are you to the gardener today? Do you hear the scissors? Do you feel the pruning? What is he knocking on your heart today to say, this is what you should do? I'm going to end in a minute, so I'd ask the team to come up. But what I love is that first quote that we read, and I want you to put it on here, from Jesus in the Beatitudes says, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they will see God. Our job today is to submit to his pruning. Our job is to protect the produce, to guard our hearts. Our job is to sow and feed the right seeds. And our job is ultimately to know the gardener, the one who loves us, the one who wants to draw beside us, the one who will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how hard our situation, no matter what we're feeling and what we're going through, some of you feel the pruning scissors right now. You feel like it's a hard time. It's all worth it, because we will see God. It's not a, oh, they might see God. Jesus said, they will see God. I wonder this morning, are we seeing God at work in our lives to prune us, to make us more like him, to shape us for his glory, so that we can enjoy an eternity with Jesus. That when we get to heaven, he'll look upon us and he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. With you, I am well pleased. Father God, we pray that we would be willing to submit to your pruning. We pray that we'd be willing to just allow you to do the work that only you can do. Lord, we know that our hearts are not always pure, but Lord, we desire to be more like you. Not for any other reason, but for your glory and so that we can see you face to face, so that we can receive a bountiful reward in heaven when one day we will see you again. And so, Lord Jesus, we pray, come, search our hearts. See if there's anything within us. And have your way, we pray. In your name, amen.